The main truth we're going to focus on this morning is one verse at the beginning of John's Gospel, John chapter 1, verse 5. It's one of the verses that is the basis of this leaflet that we've been encouraging everyone to read at Christmas time, Christmas Hope in a COVID World. John, in his Gospel, picks up the way that Jesus describes himself as the light of the world. And he says of Jesus, the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. It's a verse that's striking for a number of reasons. One of the things that strikes you about the verse, though, is the sense of the light being opposed. Did you get that? That the light of Christ comes into the darkness, and the darkness does not take it lying down. The darkness pushes back. The darkness tries to overcome the light, but it did not, it does not, and it never will overcome the light of Jesus Christ. That's the Christmas story, the Christmas message. It's why in the middle of winter every year we look afresh at the reality of the birth of Jesus Christ into the world, to renew our faith in him and to remember this hope that shines whatever our circumstances are. And this morning we're going to take a different perspective on the Christmas story to the one that we usually have. You may have noticed the title for this service is There's a Dragon in My Nativity. I owe that to a short creative video that was put out a year ago. See what you think.
There's a dragon in my nativity, dreadful and immense. The shepherds quake, the wise men shake, and spill their frankincense. The castle are alone, and the baby is awake, while Joe and Mary tremble. Oh, this must be some mistake. There's a dragon over Bethlehem. I don't know how he came. I didn't think a donkey could have borne the dragon's frame. I don't believe the census had been called for such as him, and I'm certain that when dragon knocked, no room was at the inn. There's a dragon by the stable. I don't know why he's there. He hasn't bought a present, and he only seems to glare. He hovers over David's town that still beneath him lies. Yet no one's sleep is dreamless underneath his piercing eyes. This dragon is invisible with ordinary sight. You cannot snap a selfie or televise his flight. Unseen he stands for every power that stands against the earth. The death, disease and darkness overshadowing each birth. This dragon is an enemy. All that's good and true. This monster lies and steals and kills. He's coming after you. Above each crib the dragon hovers, sure to swallow whole. Rulers, empires, beauty, joy, a flesh and blood black hole. But dragons always meet their match. They always meet their doom. A hero rises to the fight to cast them into gloom. And so at this nativity arose another player. Baby wrapped in swaddling cloth, he was a dragon slayer. He'd come to fight through Hera's plot, through dangers big and small. He took on evil, sickness, death, and triumphed over all. A dragon or a baby? Just who would win the fight? It wasn't really fair, you see. The child was a knight. From high above and long before, he knew what must be done. He knew the dragon waiting here. And still, he chose to come. There's a dragon in my nativity, a fierce and monstrous danger. But fierce is still the bravery and love within the manger.
Good. It's a very different way to think about the Christmas story, isn't it? And in case you thought that the filmmakers are just sort of on a flight of fancy there, great creativity, but, you know, that's nothing to do with anything in the Bible, is it? Well, if you thought that, let me hand now to Tim, and he will read a section of the Bible that tells the story of Jesus in exactly that sort of way. And if you're following at home, or if you're following on an app in the room, then Revelation 12 is where you're heading.
So we start at the first verse of Revelation 12. A great sign appeared in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, with the moon under her feet, and crown of 12 stars on her head. She was pregnant and cried out in pain as she was about to give birth. Then another sign appeared in heaven, an enormous red dragon with 7 heads and 10 horns and 7 crowns on its heads. Its tail swept a third of the stars out of the sky and flung them to the earth. The dragon stood in front of the woman who was about to give birth, so that it might devour her child the moment he was born. She gave birth to a son, a male child, who will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. And her child was snatched up to God and to his throne. The woman fled into the wilderness to a place prepared for her by God, where she might be taken care of for 1,260 days. And then from verse 13, when the dragon saw that he'd been hurled to the earth, he pursued the woman who had given birth to the male child. The woman was given the 2 wings of a great eagle so that she might fly to the place prepared for her in the wilderness, where she would be taken care of for a time, times and half a time, out of the serpent's reach. Then from his mouth the serpent spewed water like a river to overtake the woman and sweep her away with the torrent. But the earth helped the woman by opening its mouth and swallowing the river that the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. Then the dragon was enraged at the woman and went off to wage war against the rest of her offspring, those who keep God's commands and hold fast their testimony about Jesus. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we look at these unfamiliar images, we pray that you would give us insight, that your Holy Spirit would help us to understand the words on the page. And not just to feel their impact and be puzzled by them, but to get the message that's here and to receive your word into our hearts and minds and lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I don't know what you made of that reading from Revelation. As with the other visions that are in that book, John is sort of shown behind the scenes of what's going on in the universe, what's going on in the spiritual dimension of things. Usually it's invisible, the spirit realm. I don't know whether you saw that reference in the little film that was made. You can't snap a selfie with this dragon. There's an invisible spirit realm, and there is a vision that John is given of a conflict. In the blue corner, we have this woman, this pregnant woman who's about to give birth to a baby boy. That's the blue corner. And in the red corner, we have an enormous, ferocious dragon. And you think, gosh, That's pretty one-sided, isn't it? He's ready to devour the boy as soon as the boy is born. Now, in historical terms, John, the writer of Revelation, clearly had in mind King Herod, didn't he? And what King Herod ordered immediately after he realized that the Magi who'd visited him on their way to Bethlehem, and he said, oh, well, do come back. Do come back and let me know where I can find this Messiah. And I too will go and worship, is what he told them. And God gave them a dream and said, don't go back to Herod. So they went back a different way to their own land. And Herod, once he realized, was enraged. And just to be on the safe side, decided to kill every male child under the age of 2 in Bethlehem. The slaughter of the innocents is how it's known. But behind his evil actions is something even more ferocious, even more sinister and nasty and frankly terrifying. I don't know whether you got... there were a couple of spine-tingling moments for me, even in that little simple video, where you think, I'm pretty uncomfortable about there being a dragon in Bethlehem when there's babies around. Oh, that's nasty to think about the world in those terms. And yet that is the real world. John is shown behind the curtain. There is, in this real world, in your experience and my experience of it, an evil, a dragon. He's named in the bit we didn't read. You find the reference actually towards the end of what we read, the snake, the serpent. But this beast, he's named in one of these verses as the ancient snake called the devil or Satan, who leads the whole world astray. Well, that's one of the pretenderness. That's the red corner. How about this woman who he seeks to destroy? Who's she? Could it be Eve? Could it be Israel, perhaps? Could it be Mary, the mother of Jesus? Could it be the church? Who is this woman in John's vision? How do we decide? Could it be all of them somehow? And the answer is yes, it could. Because this is Revelation. This is how the visions work. They are composite word pictures. They put together in one sort of complex image, lots of different themes. Eve, the mother of us all, is in mind. Israel, the nation through whom the Messiah came, is in mind. Mary, Jesus' actual mother, who did have to flee from Herod and his murderous intent, she's in mind. And the verse, last verse, where it talks about the other offspring of the women who are walking faithfully with Jesus, that clearly has in mind the church. And the dragon hates them all and wants to destroy them all. I said this was Christmas from a very different perspective, didn't I? Hark, the herald angels sing, a dragon waits to eat our king. We're not planning to sing that as our final song, don't worry. We'll sing the trad version. But in the spirit realm, this is very real. It was and it is. This is what was going on at the first Christmas. From God's perspective and from Satan's, Christmas was far more than the birth of a baby. It was an invasion. It was the decisive advance in the great struggle for the cosmos. Silent night, violent night. Hell and heaven meet to fight. And wars in human history have been raged over money. They've been waged over land, they've been waged over influence, over honour, over oil. But this war, the greatest war in human history, was fought over us, over the human race, over our future, over our fate in eternity. It's actually very moving to think of Christmas in these terms. The child, well, the child is obviously Jesus in any of the images. Jesus, as we don't normally think about him, though. Verse 5, he will rule all the nations with an iron scepter. Did you hear that line in the video? A dragon or a baby? Just who would win the fight? It wasn't really fair, you see. The child was a knight. That's a simplified version of the story. But in history, when Jesus was born, even though he was Emmanuel, God with us, he needed protecting. Because he was born as one of us. Fully human. A human baby. And so not able and ready at that stage of his life to go into battle against Satan. He needed his biological mother, Mary, to care for him. Joseph, his adoptive father, to protect him. He needed God, his heavenly father, to warn them in a dream to flee from Herod and from the rest of Satan's advances and schemes. There's something really profound for us there. There's something really profound that for us who continue to live in a world where Satan carries on his schemes against the church and against the human race, where there is darkness that seeks to overcome you and me, Jesus was born as one of us, born in weakness. He was human, not superhuman. He, as a human being like us, had to learn to depend on his heavenly Father for protection, for strength, for his daily bread. And the reason that that is such good news is it means that Jesus, who really was one of us, when the hour came for the final battle on the cross, he was one of us. He was representing us on that day. And when he went into the battle on the cross against sin and death and the devil, well, how did it look? It looked like at last the dragon had got him, because death swallowed him whole. It looked that way until the third day. And on the third day, the grave burst open. He rose in power and victory. He is alive forevermore. In the words of the video, he took on evil, sickness, death, and triumphed over all. Jesus overcame the darkness in all of its manifestations, in all of its forms. He defeated it forever. And what that means for our daily lives. Because when Jesus came in humility, he fought and won that decisive battle for all people for all time. And when he comes back in power, which Revelation describes, he will finally banish the devil forever, all of the devil's minions as well, into hell forever. He will make everything right. There is this beautiful new city, which we thought about on Christmas Eve, which will last forever. The new Zion, the new Jerusalem, the place of God, the people of God, the city of God, all together, that wonderful reunion, united with God face to face forever and just enjoying his light and love. That's what's coming in the future through Jesus. But in this in-between time that we've been thinking about for the last few weeks, God patiently delays that final day, that judgment day, so that the people of the world can come back to him through Jesus the Savior. And what it means, though, it does transform the fight. It transforms the daily experience. It transforms how we face evil and sickness and death. We do it differently now. So let's think about sickness and disease, and then let's think about death. For sickness and disease, I mean, I don't know what you make of the last 10 months, if you've done much reflection on COVID. There is something devilish about it, isn't there? The way that it divides us from one another. The way it's made so many people so fearful. And yet, for everyone who puts their faith in Jesus, for everyone who looks to his victory, his battle, his victory over sin and death and the devil on the cross, through him, we're now forgiven. Which means that through him, we now receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, God with us, always, in every circumstance, through any pain, through any anguish, through any depression, through any sickness, through any loneliness and isolation, God with us, nothing able to separate us from his love. That's what Jesus' death achieves for everyone who puts their faith in him. And can you see how that makes all the difference in the world if you're in hospital or if you're having to isolate at home? Because God is with us by his Holy Spirit in the midst of it. We're safe. We're in his hands. And we're safe even in the face of death. Even though we still have to go through the agony, the anguish, the separation of death, we have a hope as we look to Jesus and his death and resurrection. We have not just a vague hope, but a total confidence that as we put our hand in his hand, he will keep us eternally safe. That actually, as one day we go through that door of death, we don't go into the unknown. We go next to our Saviour, or rather with our Saviour next to us, through the valley and out the other side of the valley of the shadow of death, into the presence of God and the light of his love, face to face at last forever. Because Jesus has got us. And so for our loved ones who we leave behind, in their grief, they know the comfort that we are fine, that we are more than fine, that we are now home with our God forever. And in their loss, they too know hope. So happy Christmas. The dragon is defeated and the king is alive, and his victory has set us free forever. Amen.